Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
And with growing evidence, as well as increasing patient interest in these approaches, it's really important for clinicians to understand what works, when to use these strategies, and how to incorporate them into everyday practice.
Today, Drs. Bonakdar and Buse joined the podcast to discuss personalizing migraine care, integrating behavioral therapies, and complementary medicine in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Robert Bonakdar, Director of Pain Management at the Scripps Center for Integrative Medicine in La Jolla, California.
And I'm Dr. Don Buse, a clinical professor of neurology at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York City and a licensed psychologist specializing in migraine, headache, and pain.
Thanks for joining me, Don.
It's my pleasure to be here, Robert.
Today, we're discussing how to integrate behavioral therapies and complementary and integrative medicine strategies into migraine care, particularly as we recognize that many patients need more than medications alone to manage their disease.
Exactly. And with growing evidence, as well as increasing patient interest in these approaches, it's really important for clinicians to understand what works, when to use these strategies, and how to incorporate them into everyday practice.
So let's start by looking at the evidence behind behavioral therapies for migraine prevention. Don, can you begin sharing what behavioral therapies are recommended in scientific organization consensus recommendations and guidelines for migraine prevention?
I'd be happy to. The evidence-based behavioral therapies include biofeedback, cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, relaxation training, mindfulness-based therapies, and acceptance and commitment therapy. Okay, now, Robert, I want to ask you about one of your favorite areas. Can you please tell us about the CIM therapies, complementary and integrative medicine therapies, that are useful in migraine management?
Sure. We know that a number of CIM therapies have evidence, and that is actually a very large menu of treatment options to consider. So just to highlight a few of these, let's start with acupuncture. A number of studies have shown that a trial of acupuncture, which is about 8 to 12 treatments typically, can have a significant ability to improve migraine frequency with benefits similar to prescription medications, and it may also improve quality of life. For those with cervical and myofascial issues, several physical therapy options such as massage and manual therapy can also be quite helpful for helping with relaxation as well as reducing pain and migraine frequency. Lastly, we cannot forget about nutrition. It's one of the most popular areas for patients to consider. And supplements are an important consideration, especially because we know that some nutrients such as vitamin D and coenzyme Q10 or CoQ10 are often deficient starting very early in the migraine journey. In addition, a number of nutrients such as riboflavin and magnesium do appear in treatment guidelines with emerging evidence of benefit in migraine prevention. As important as the CIM therapy of choice, open discussion is essential to ensure evidence-based coordination, as surveys note that these conversations are often incomplete. While CIM therapies are important, we don't want to forget about the importance of lifestyle habits. Don, which lifestyle habits really matter for successful migraine management?
Great question. So let's keep this short and sweet. There's about 5 lifestyle habits that really matter in migraine management for which we have good evidence. That's going to include healthy, regular sleep, hydration, staying hydrated. Nutrition, we like to think about eating on a regular basis, as well as low inflammatory diet and getting a nice, even blood sugar. Physical activity could be exercise, could be more gentle movement, and stress management, learning to manage stress. You know, we can't always stop the waves from coming, but we can learn how to surf, as our friend Jon Kabat-Zinn likes to tell us.
Absolutely.
In addition to what therapies to consider, it's important for clinicians to have an idea of who might be ideal candidates. Robert, how do you match patients with these therapies for migraine?
That's an important consideration. Some key demographics to keep in mind include patients who may have contraindications or prior difficulty with treatments, such as patients who are pregnant or allergic to medications, patients with comorbidities that make certain CIM therapies well-suited, such as biofeedback for those who have migraine plus anxiety or Raynaud's syndrome, or exercise and diet to support patients who have migraine plus prediabetes, for example. But I think the category that may be the most common is patients who are trying to combine conventional and CIM therapies to really optimize care. Don, do you mind reviewing some of the key studies that point this out?
That's a great question. Of course, we have entire new classes of migraine-specific preventive therapies that are both efficacious and tolerable. And that's really exciting to think about combining those migraine-specific pharmacologic therapies or our neuromodulation preventive therapies with our behavioral therapies to really create targeted, tailored, personalized approaches for patients. This is an area of emerging evidence, and it's an area I'd love to do more studies on, and I suspect and hope we will see more evidence coming in the future. But it certainly makes sense to combine our efficacious, targeted migraine preventive pharmacologic therapies and neuromodulation with those behavioral approaches.
Thank you for reviewing that, Dawn, and I look forward to those emerging synergistic studies that hopefully will come out soon.
One thing we always want to think about when it comes to those healthy lifestyle habits, which we include as part of our education as clinical providers in migraine, those benefit everybody, regardless of age, regardless of migraine subtype or headache subtype. Those are just a great place to start. Now, we know as clinicians, sometimes these can actually be the hardest therapeutic recommendations to support our patients in. It's a lot easier, in fact, to take a medication or receive a treatment than work on one of these five areas that we mentioned: improve sleep, start getting exercise, improve nutrition, hydration. One thing we like to do is choose one, choose it together with the patient, both patient and provider, agree which one of those five is the place they want to start, and then kind of that good old advice, start low and go slow, set low, achievable, realistic goals. In some circumstances, you may want to refer out to a specialist to help support. Could be a sleep doctor, a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, a psychologist. Figure out the right partner. Because as a physician, you may not have enough time to really provide that behavioral support. But those lifestyle habits can really be improved for all of us. I mean, you and me too, right? We could probably tweak our sleep and our exercise, and it would probably benefit us as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm so glad that we're talking about this important topic today. Now, let's take a look at clinical decision-making. When should clinicians consider recommending or referring patients for behavioral or CIM therapies? Do you have any initial thoughts?
Well, I think there's a layering that everyone benefits from general good migraine education and looking at those healthy lifestyle habits, seeing what we can support and augment. And then from there, we really look at the patient's individual circumstances. Certainly, if we've got someone pregnant, wanting to get pregnant, breastfeeding, there's a whole set of safer choices for that patient versus someone who has maybe had a heart attack, someone who just prefers natural options. We'll see that patient once in a while. So I would love to ask you, Robert, you are expert in nutraceuticals, acupuncture. How do you inform those decisions and those conversations when a patient's interested in acupuncture or a nutraceutical, or you think it might be good for them?
That's a great point. I'm so glad you brought up patient preference and shared decision-making, because in many cases that can be the motivator to allow the patient to make those appointments, make those purchases if those are necessary, and make sure those are incorporated in their daily lifestyle, because we're asking for commitment, whether it's going to an acupuncture appointment or going to the store to pick up a certain nutraceutical. So I always start with, what are they motivated? What are they thinking is going to help them? And I try to match that with the evidence. And in many cases, we have a menu of options that can be beneficial. But if a patient's really interested, let's say they haven't tried acupuncture, they've heard it can be beneficial, they may have heard it can also help with sleep, and they have issues in that area, that might be the perfect fit. If there's another patient who might be very motivated to try a dietary approach because they may have other dietary needs or deficiencies or metabolic issues like prediabetes, then that's when I'm going to choose nutraceuticals or dietary approaches, and hopefully have them meet with my dietitian to talk about Mediterranean diet, anti-inflammatory diet, as you mentioned earlier. So it really depends on where they're coming from. I think the most important way of having good compliance is picking a therapy that the patient is open to, approaching it in a non-judgmental manner, and having really good shared decision-making.
Robert, thank you for this discussion. I think it's been really interesting and insightful to think about how do we match patients to our available evidence-based approaches to migraine management, including the behavioral, the healthy lifestyle and the CIM therapies. And there's really an art to this science, right? So keeping our patients motivated, getting them on board, having them feeling optimistic and positive about their treatment plan. So I really appreciate hearing your perspectives of what you do in the clinic to help achieve the best outcomes for our patients.
It's my pleasure, and I agree. These approaches give us additional tools to better tailor care, meet patients where they are, and help patients achieve the best outcomes. And thank you to our audience for joining us.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing, Medical News Roundup, and just ask, "What's my Flash Briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Bonakdar and Buse. Join me next time for the episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.